Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I mean, they're all of the...
Greetings and salutations, Hempsters. This is your Hemptrepreneurial host, Tyler Hemp. Thank you so much for tuning in today's show. It's a glorious day in California. And the sun is shining, I think. Anyway, I haven't been outside, but it sure is shining in my heart. I'm really inspired and amped up for today's show. We've got some really amazing guests on that are visionaries. They've got a dream, and a dream that I've actually had for many years. Before I introduce our very special guest, I just want to thank you for tuning in to HempAware Radio. Your time is valuable. Your interest is very important to me. And where you put your focus, where you put your thoughts, your energy, your time, your actions, your effort, that's what's going to expand. Money is not the only thing, but time, thoughts, energy, it's all important. So I appreciate your focus, your time. And it's been about 15 years since I first worked with Hempcrete in a little cobblestone home in France. And ever since then, I've been envisioning hemp homes popping up all over the globe. And today I'm enthused to share with you a small group of individuals out of Homer, Alaska that are doing some amazing things. And today's show is entitled How to Build Your Tiny Hemp Home for Less. So not only are they, you know, doing some amazing things to design their own hemp home, but they're going to start doing it for others. And so without further ado, I'd love to invite on the Tiny Homer team, Jack and Dee and Mike. Tell me, you guys reorganized, you're relaunching the Tiny Home, Tiny Hemp Home project. What's the new name of the project now in your company?
It's two entities. The design entity is Earth Built Designs. And then there's the distribution entity is Nuna Works. It's the native Yupik language for Earth, Nuna.
Awesome.
I mean, yeah, not as in totally bad, dude, but as in awesome. I mean, let me just go ahead and kick it off that Dee and I, we... our background is in social justice and visual arts. We just had time after doing an enormous art installation on Alcatraz to come up to Alaska, where I'm originally from. Dee's never came. And where I'm from, it's 45 below zero in the winter. So anytime you bring somebody nomadic in the dead of winter, the life expectancy is 2 months. So I figured we'll shoot for Homer because it's known as the Banana Belt of Alaska. But we crossed paths with Michael. I let Dee know there's a lot of sages up here that are hiding, that are nestled in the woods, and we'll cross paths with them as they arise. And our stars collided. Michael, Cameron, and he told us his philosophy of not going into debt 30 years into mortgage, but building a place where you could pay it off in 3 to 6 years or what have you. But his understanding of natural building materials, such as the toxic blue board insulation or the pink stuff. At the time, he was working on, at the time, a cotton batting insulation. So as an advocate of organic foods and using herbs for natural healing, I could clearly understand about natural building materials, and it's in line with DNI's core values. And so it was an opportunity to build sustainably, in harmony with people and planet. So we just felt inspired to invest in this project, but it evolved into a business. It just and then crossing paths with the concept of hemp because of the North Carolina home in the USA Today paper. Mm-hmm. We introduced hemp into that equation of natural building, and it just skyrocketed from there. We went through an enormous learning curve from fall to today, and we have
with
a strong
help of Tyler.
With the help of people like bulkhempwarehouse.com and getting the direction and gaining a basic strong understanding of industrial hemp and the economic and the economical potential it has for Alaska. And so it is one of those things that it's where something is presented in front of you that comes from above, and that it's a social responsibility to bring the awareness here to Alaska. Just like how our third eye was open. Go ahead, Tyler.
It sounded like you're about to get into your vision, and I'd love for our listeners to learn more about, you know, what it was that got you to choose hemp. I mean, you saw the hemp house in Asheville. You realized the ecological potential of hemp, but you know, there's other materials out there. There's bamboo. There's other types of sustainable lumber. What was it about hemp that really got you guys to want to be hempsters and integrate hemp into the building?
I'll let Michael chime in on that one.
Okay. Well, I've been a builder for, I don't know, a long time, over 40 years. But I was stationed in Korea in 1970. And hemp grew wild around the area where I was at. And the houses were built out of earth and straw and hemp and things like the walls and everything. You know, they're like adobe houses, basically. And so I've always had an interest in building. And so I went from there. So I've been in Alaska 35 years. So up, and I've seen all the different building processes. And they're just, you know, I don't mean to sound derisive, but they're garbage. A lot of them are garbage, and they make people sick. And they create mold, moldy environments, stuff like that. So, you know, with some knowledge that I picked up in early 70s in Santa Fe, New Mexico, with adobe and hemp and different materials, I thought I would bring that to Alaska, but, you know, we're a little slower on the uptake. And then so I met Jack and Dee, and then from their enthusiasm, basically we just set out on a course to start helping get hemp grown here and manufactured here, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of where it's gone, you know. And then the tiny house part is just having so many friends that are still indebted to college and stuff, you know, my younger friends. And, it's all of the things that we all know about the tiny home movement, you know. So it's coupled together in all those different aspects.
Awesome. So it's the eco-friendliness, the sanitary nature, the health benefits of working with the hemp, the ease, obviously. It's about three or four different ingredients, right, to make hempcrete. So it's not too labor intensive. I mean, it could be pretty fun as well. I mean, isn't it true that it's pretty easy to work with as compared to maybe say concrete or building a completely lumber or brick house?
Oh yeah. I mean, I just spent 2 months, almost 3 months, and I created a product I call Hemp Bond. And basically, I'm utilizing materials found in Alaska, you know, organic materials, some inorganic, and basically using a line that's here in Alaska, and some other different, you know, normal everyday things on the ground, so to speak, literally. And I mixed them together, and I've made an alternative to Portland cement that's just as strong, and it reacts with the hemp in a unique way, and it hardens faster. It actually turns in, you know, as you know, the hemp crete returns like to a fossilized state once it's bound with the lime and everything. So and extract CO2. So this kind of seems to speed up that process. And boy, I mean, it's pretty amazing material. I made a thing like a little, the size of a softball, but you can, you know, you can hit that thing and it doesn't affect it. And I made block, you know, all the different things, and it's great. Mm-hmm. It's going to turn into one heck of a product, you know?
Wow. I'm so excited. Like I said before, I've been envisioning hemp homes for almost 15 years now. And not only do I want a hemp home for myself, but I want every one of our listeners and literally as many people on the planet to be living in these earth-friendly, sustainable, healthy homes where they're not surrounded by formaldehyde and lead and glues and toxic chemicals.
Yeah.
So I want to hear more about your guys' vision. Tell me, how do you see the company evolving? When are the homes going to be available? How can people start getting in line to sign up for a tiny hemp home? Are you guys only going to be doing in this Alaska? Are you going to be expanding across the country? What's the vision? Tell us a little bit more.
Washington House.
The Washington House?
Yeah.
Sure.
Because that's going to be hemp.
Sure. First things first is to build the model. Build a working model. It's that whole concept. Build it and they will come. And I mean, gold is not our motivation. It's hemp. It's bringing hemp as the solution to people's consciousness. So we foreseen that it's going to be wildly popular, that people are going to be, once they see a working model, and they like you mentioned once upon a time, Tyler, you were in a hemp home, and they just feel great to be in. They smell good to be in. And then we're just gonna take it from there. I think that we just want to keep it small, keep it tiny. There are projects lined up in Whidbey Island. that's Michael will probably be better at answering what's going on with the potential on Whidbey Island than I can.
Great, let's hear about it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, basically, I mean, for your question, you know, it's a matter of working out the designs and whatnot with people and getting all this stuff understood. Because a lot of these things aren't off the shelf. So, you know, and you've got to find the hemp and everything and bring it to the spot, all of that, and then work around your different criteria, you know, your building codes and all that stuff. So, like in Woodby, it's a tiny home, and basically it's the walls and everything will be hempcrete, but it'd be on a rammed earth foundation, and then it's going to be timber frame, you know, inner structure with a roof that is going to be half earth roof, and then the other half will be water catchment. It's kind of like the one I designed for Jack and Dee, except theirs is going to be the main structure is rammed earth, and then the upper floors are all hempcrete, all the walls, all the interiors, the buttresses, you know, all that stuff's going to be out of hempcrete. So, you know, So it's just a one-on-one thing with each person that you, you know.
You know, and I'd like to chime in. In addition to harnessing intelligent energy such as solar and turbines, there's actually vertical axis turbines out there that do not impact birds while in migration, and rain harvesting catchment systems. But my ultimate goal is to there's a problem in rural Alaska. Something like 200 rural villages, the cost of heating the home is $7 to $10 an hour, diesel. And I think most of us understand that the hempcrete with the high geomass insulation, it's something in energy costs alone, reduces energy costs by 50 to 70% alone. Sustainability
wow.
really does stick. And so I'm really passionate about going to the farthest ends of Alaska to raise this kind of hemp awareness. And then one of the events that I'll go to get my feet wet is the Alaska Rural Energy Conference in my hometown in Fairbanks. For 5 days, we'll set up a table. Something like 85 rural native villages will come to represent there.
That's fabulous. So your vision ultimately is to keep it tight, keep it tiny, work on a one-by-one basis, just be planting seeds in people's minds, but working with them on a more intimate level. You guys aren't trying to make, out-of-the-box type homes where you just put it all together. You want to meet the people that you're working with. You want to get to know them, get to know their vision, and integrate as many sustainable materials as possible with solar and wind energy, and really live in harmony with the earth as ideally as possible, it sounds like. And that's kind of the vision for your company and your project.
Yeah, absolutely. One more important thing that we hope will happen here is because the cultivation of industrial hemp is just in the legal system right now, awaiting final decision. We hope that this will, really inspire people to hear to understand that this is an amazing opportunity for a new industry for Alaska, which a lot of people here can really, really use, not to mention be able to build your own house from it. So we're hoping
exactly.
to make some kind of little impact in that regard too. And Jack just was able to testify in front of the, what was it, the Finance Committee?
House
Finance Committee, as this bill is getting pushed through. So that's
wonderful.
Well,
it is all hempening, little by little. It's people like you guys that have the vision and are willing to do the work and talk to these representatives. That's what it's all about. So on the next topic or question, so let's talk a little bit more about the physical benefits that you guys have come to find. You know, I'm sure Mike would have something to say about this in particular, but it sounds like one of the things is that it petrifies, it hardens very quickly. So it's easy to mold and put into form and then let it sit. What are some of the other, physical characteristics or benefits that living in Alaska where it gets 45 degrees below zero that will, that hemp can do for Alaskans in a home?
There was in the early 60s, a state agronomist that did experimental research crops. Industrial hemp was one of them. They just wanted to see if it could be done in these climates and for the long lights during the summer. And the crop was successful, and the project was then buried.
Wow.
One of the things about hemp, as I said, I've lived here like 35 years, and going out to the villages and stuff, when I go fishing or whatever, and everything has to be flown in, or if you're lucky enough to live near the water, to be brought in by a barge. But most things mm-hmm. in the interior, which is vast, as you know, in Alaska is, almost as large as the United States. So a lot of villages have everything has to be flown in, and hemp herd is really light, as well as the binder. And so you know, that creates an amazing opportunity for people to build sustainable housing in the interior. You don't have to fly in all of the just an array of insanity that they do, you know, from the treated lumber to the poison, you know, insulation and everything. And it's just amazing. I you know, so it's a opportunity for Alaskans to really wake up and produce stuff that will be generational, you know, and it will last for many generations. You know, they can pass it on to their children's children, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you, you as a team, sorry, go ahead.
No, I, you know, like that's something like the hemp food industry is $280 million a year in the U.S. And I mean, when I was in the South 48 and some eateries, people enjoying Kenai Alaskan caught salmon. But imagine being poured over Alaskan hemp oil, high in omega-3, that those can be grown in Alaska. Infrastructure can be created here, turning a lot of these rural villages from third-generation welfare communities into a wealth-generating engine. So why Alaska? You know, because when people hear it, they think pristine. They think tough. They think wide.
Mm-hmm. They think cold.
Climate change.
Right.
So you haven't had a winter. You're
back. You haven't?
No. Here in Homer, it's known as the banana belt. It's been in the 30s, in the 40s. You could sport some hemp shorts and get a suntan. It's only snowed two or three times here in Homer.
Oh, my. Wow.
But it sits on the beautiful.
No. Finish your thought, Jack.
Homer, it's a quaint town, 6,500 in town and 12,000 on the outskirts in the populace. And it sits on, it's known as the fishing, the halibut fishing capital of the world. It sits on the beautiful Kachemak Bay with the mountain range and the glaciers in the background. Something like the first week of May, something like 20,000 different species of birds come flying in from all over the world just to hang out in beautiful Homer for a few days. It's like a worldwide music festival for the birds. You see them rocking out by themselves or come by with their bands. So.
Wow. We'll have to make some hemp birdhouses for them.
There you go.
So are you got, let's say somebody contacts you and by the way, I know you guys are still getting things together and you know, this show will be, we're broadcasting live now, but it'll be archived for our listeners to review in the future. What would be the best way for them to contact you if, you know, somebody wants to get in line and start building a tiny home, a tiny hemp home, or, you know, at least get in the process of having a conversation with you? How could they connect with you?
Okay, so the website that's under construction, it's AlaskaRammedEarthBuilders.com. That's AlaskaRammedEarthBuilders.com. And also by email, that's Jack Lee Bennett Jr. at gmail.com. That's JACKLEEBENNETTJR at gmail.com. We're happy to help.
I love it. So if somebody came to you and they said, Jack and Dee and Mike, I love the concept, but I have a family of 12 and I don't think a tiny home is going to work for us. Would you guys be in a position to build us a mini mansion or, you know, just a 3, 4, 5 bedroom home? Are you going to be set up for something of that nature?
Ours is 1,400 square feet. So it's not underneath the category of a tiny home, but small home, because it's the small footprint is what the goal is. And absolutely no job, big or small or in between, is impossible to us.
I mean, to justify their house, they came to me with a concept of a house and a studio, and both of them became incorporated into one unit. That's why. Otherwise, it would be two separate small buildings. Okay. So just to clarify that, we just put everything under one roof, right?
Mm-hmm. I love it. So we just have a little bit less than 5 minutes left on today's show. What are some of the challenges? You guys are now, you know, and have been small business owners. What are some of the challenges that you've had to overcome or that you foresee that you will have to overcome in working in the hemp industry and the building industry and those two combined?
Well, I think here in Alaska, our first biggest challenge is getting the hemp because we're not able to grow it here yet. So that, and then getting everything to Alaska is really expensive. Mm-hmm. So those are two big hurdles that we've, you know, been thinking about since the beginning. And
go ahead.
Well, I just was going to reiterate. So availability of hemp and then also the transportation of materials.
Right, right. But, you know, we are the upper part of the Pacific Rim, and we also have two airlines that go daily three times a day to Europe, so which is a shorter distance. It's 5 hours versus, you know, going all the way from here to Seattle, then to New York. It's over the pole. So we can get materials and stuff from Europe also. If need be, you know, like electronic stuff, solar panels, stuff like that, you know, from either way. So we do have some advantages, but in general, the freight is what really, really.
Right. It seems like the biggest hurdle. And you had mentioned, Mike, you know, with regard to building code, and is that a major challenge in Alaska, or is that something that's a little easier? I know California is very strict.
Yeah, it depends on where you are. If you're in Anchorage, it's a problem. But generally, if you're not in one of the major cities, Juneau, Fairbanks, that kind of, you're pretty safe. You know, it's just integrity is really important, you know, to build, you know, like you do have codes and utilize that. But yeah, no, there's no building inspectors or anything like that.
Awesome. Well, we just have 2 minutes left on the show. I'd love to hear from each one of you, if you have an inspiring thought or something insightful to share with our listeners, something that they could do to contribute to this movement, what would that be?
Well, just the reason to do something is because you believe in it passionately, not just for yourself, but for the planet and all people. And as long as you have that energy from the core, then I feel like you will be successful.
I love it. Thank you for that, Dee.
You know, hemp's been a pretty big deal in Europe the last 20 years and Canada since the early 90s. So now here in the States, we're catching up. So this is the time to find your usefulness in this culture. And in my opinion, you'll go from zero to Mach 50.
Love it.
So,
and Mike?
You know, yeah, I mean, I'm the older guy, you know, I'm the old guy here. And you know, back in the 60s and 70s, there were all these back earth movements and everything. And I think it's finally starting to come to fruition with, you know, with the political side of things, with the spiritual side of things, you know. And the hemp is just a reinforcement of that. It's proving that we need to get back to that base. and we need to get back to that understanding of where our place is in the environment on this and with each other. So, you know, I think it's a wonderful way to bring us all together is through the hemp.
Yes. I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us on today's show. This is your Hemptrepreneurial host, Tyler Hemp with Hemp Aware Radio and the Tiny Hemp Home crew up in Homer, Alaska. Thank you guys so much for being on today's show. I love and appreciate you.
Thanks, Tyler.
Thank you,
Tyler.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.